Welcome to Gear Talk. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris.
This is Annie.
And I'm Brooke.
Yay, we're back.
Yay, woo-hoo. It's been a while.
In this episode, we're going to talk through the various gear considerations for the upcoming Odyssey Swim Run Casco Bay that's happening in Portland, Maine. If I can speak for Chipper, we're very stoked for this race to finally happen.
You may speak for me.
Just around the corner. And we're trying to figure out what kit should we wear. And we thought that other people might be having the same
concern. We have been seeing lots of chatter on the Odyssey Facebook group about what should we do, socks, should we wear sleeves with our wetsuits, all this stuff. So we're here to kind of answer these last minute questions you might have.
And plus have it be really self-serving because it's only going to help us.
AKA help the Low Tide boys pack their swim run gear bag for Casco Bay.
You know, and when we say answer your questions, we can only provide further discussion because...
True.
That's the answers true. Are elusive to all of us.
Fair enough.
That's
just as
fair
a disclaimer. Just as a disclaimer. I just don't want to come in too high here.
Sure. But Annie and Brooke, you guys did this race a couple of times. So why don't you talk about kind of like in an overview way.
What sort of climate situation are we dealing with over there?
Yeah. Humid. My memory is that it was very humid. And
a little sticky.
Having grown up in Maine, yes, sticky. Even when... the temps, you know, in numbers seem pretty reasonable. Usually there's a fair amount of moisture in the air. So planning for at least the runs probably being pretty sweaty, I think. And especially looking at the weather forecast there, it looks like it's going to be partly sunny and mid to high 70s.
Yeah, high of 77, weekend. Low of 62. This is in Portland.
That's the air temperature.
The air temperature, yeah. So... Casco might be a few degrees cooler just because it's, you know, surrounded by water. But yeah, that's not a cold swim run.
Mm-mm. No. And I actually remember, being humid on the runs and being super grateful for the swims.
Mm-hmm. Refreshing.
Yeah.
And the swims are refreshing.
They are.
I would say the longest swim that we had, Brooke, I remember getting out and my feet were numb. And I knew they would not be numb for long, but I was like, oh, wow.
What is the longest swim? It's
the Shark Cove swim.
965.
Just under a K.
Yeah. Oh, Shark Cove. Yeah.
But there's a couple of them.
Yeah, there's a couple.
And it's kind of like in a protected cove, so it doesn't feel as cold as like when you're crossing like a channel, you know?
Right.
Yes.
Getting that water exchange.
Right. So when you guys raced this in the past, what gear did you use and were you happy with your choices? And hindsight is allowed.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all we have. Yeah. Thank God it's allowed.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Brooke, lead it off. I'm going to contemplate
Well, the first year that we raced it, we were very new to swim run. And so we had like the DIY pull buoy. With like complete with duct tape. We wore, I think, our like basic entry level wetsuits. So I wore the Orca, Orca's core, and Annie, you wore your Blue 70, right?
Mm-hmm. Blue 70 Alliance. I wore that both times. We wore that both times.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we didn't get.
Because that hasn't been since 2019 that this race has happened.
Because
we went into a time warp.
And we both went sleeveless both times. And in 2018, it was a little bit overcast and rainy, so a little bit colder. In 2019, it was like a gorgeous bluebird day. So there's some contrast there. And both times, I think the sleeveless was the way to go. I did not miss having sleeves at all. And in fact,
100%.
The run would be absolutely intolerable with sleeves on.
Just a point of clarification. You're saying sleeveless as no arm warmers. You still had your wetsuit
sleeves,
which go down to your bicep or something, right? Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure if you had, you know, like Chris's head, My Boost Pro,
yeah,
which is actually
literally sleeveless.
No sleeves.
I think that would also be
That'd be okay.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So for anyone, it sounds like this, and I think, Chris, we did it without arm warmers the year that we did in 2018. And I do remember kind of thinking, oh, the water temps, I'm sort of concerned. But as we were just talking before the mics went hot, the water, I don't remember anything about it. So it must have been a non-issue in terms of temperature.
Plus, I think our tolerance for cold water now is very different than it was.
Yeah,
then.
So it's even it's even better than it probably was.
Yeah, and I would say same for Brooke and I. Like, we were pretty, as regular listeners of the podcast would know, like, in the last year or two, we've gotten pretty hot to trot on swimming in cold water, but that's only been since 2020. So at the time we raced this, we felt the cold. I do remember, like, that the longest swim, and I'm looking at the map now, it's in the long course, it's swim 6. It's the swim over from Cow Island to Long Island. And that does cross a channel where there's a fair amount of water exchange. And that was the one that I got out and had numb feet. But that said, like, I was not wearing arm warmers, and it was totally okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think for me, like, the biggest lesson in gear for, so I have lessons in gear from, like, what I've learned, but then also, like, future predictions of what I would do. But sorry, that sounded like it would be the same thing, but it's not. So I think for me, the biggest lesson in gear, because Annie mentioned the humidity and just being sticky and wet on the run, was lube up. I remember, Annie, I got that gnarly, and actually, I got a gnarly neck chafe, and I had lubed up, but not, and I didn't do Annie's, like, triple dipping that she does. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, actually, when I went shopping the next day in Portland with my husband, I saw tons of swim runners with bloody necks. Ooh. So it was kind of like a thing that I just noticed.
Like,
and I think part of that has to do with obviously the salt water, but also, just you're going to always be really wet when you're running, which you are anyways in swim run, but it just feels like more so.
Right. Now, can I ask a question though? Were you guys kind of going for it as well? Or were you just taking it easy? Because I feel like if you're going for it, that just exacerbates rubbing.
We were going for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Annie, I have a lesson learned from you, but you might have this lesson too.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Uh-oh. Oh boy. Story time.
Oh man.
Chris passed.
Does it have to do with the, like, particles of beach I smuggled around in my shoes for the whole race?
Yes. And then had to take a painful 3-minute break to watch you empty them.
Oh God, that sucked. Yeah. So there is a fair amount. I mean, I'm about to say something stupid, because every time you walk out of the water, you walk across a beach that has sand of all different sizes.
Yeah. And
there are some rock exits, right? There's some, like,
I guess
rocky,
there's no, because, but I think all of the interfaces of rocky-ish stuff with water involve some kind of sand of some size.
Yeah.
And I was wearing shoes that didn't fit me super tight around, like, the ankle collars, and also were a pretty loose mesh, so they were super breathable and drained water great. But
and you weren't wearing the sea snugs,
for sure not. Nope, never would.
Had
never
you been
will,
wearing those, but had you been wearing those, you would have had zero sand in your shoe.
Brooke, I'm not sure why you're bringing that up, because no one likes those. So you're just giving us an opportunity to shit on your favorite product.
Oh, she loves it. Sorry, Brooke. Nope. I wouldn't solve the problem by wearing sea snugs, but I would say, like, pick your shoes wisely and consider if you've ever contemplated, like, a gaiter system. I don't know. It's just possible for a lot of beach to enter your shoe if it is a super breathable, like, porous mesh shoe, or if your ankles don't fit. Well,
Chipper, I don't know if you remember, like, that happened to us where I had tons of rocks for that last run.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, do you want to take a break and just clear the shoes? And we just both decided just, like, screw it and just,
like,
it was,
we
like
had
a mile,
like,
or
a
something.
Mile left. We're like,
oh gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah,
a mile?
As soon as we crossed the finish, I mean, it was like,
it was like
running with ankle weights.
It's terrible. Yeah.
I did it
before, like, the 4-mile run. I was like, this ain't going to happen. So I think if you are in any way questioning whether your shoes, your preferred shoes, are going to have what it takes to keep the beach out of them, I would replace your laces right now with elastic. What are those?
Lock laces.
Lock laces.
Right. The bungee cord laces, so that you can just rip your shoe off, dump it out, and put your shoe back on. Because you very well might have to do that.
And do not fall prey to those stupid little foam pads that you like tie into your laces to help your shoes float.
Yeah. I feel like that's
Annie, remember you were wearing those and you had to like unlace them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think that's dead tech at this point. I think most people, if you're using a giant pull buoy, like anything below the knee, you don't need anything.
You guys, I had zip tied something to my shoelaces that prevented me from access. Anyways, don't do that. Wow. Just don't.
We had the floaty shin guards and stuff.
Yeah.
We did it.
Those are also, I think,
pretty obsolete at this
point. So since we're talking about shoes, let's work our way up the feet. Do we want to comment on what we're... Chris, what are you wearing?
How about this? Chipper, why don't we just critique you first? Critique you first. And let's... Like, what are you thinking about wearing? And then the three of us will chime in as to whether
it's a good idea. Okay, sure. So I have been testing out these Hoka One One Zanal. There's these new lightweight trail racer from Hoka. They have the new Vibram like Mega Grip. So I've been kind of testing this out. They drain really well. They're very lightweight, very like snappy turnover. So they're a much different shoe from what I was using with the Hoka Evo Speed Goats. The upper is kind of the same in terms of draining, but they just feel a lot faster. And as you know, I'm feeling like I need that now, I guess. So I've trained in these the last probably month. So 4 plus probably 6 different swim runs in these plus, you know.
And you got some beaches over there that you guys are coming, like sandy.
That's pretty much all we have.
Yeah,
I've
been happy with it.
How do they hold up in the sand?
They hold up well. One thing I do notice is that I think to start, I'm going to kind of over snug my shoes because I do notice after hours in the water, they do kind of stretch a little bit.
Yeah, so you just have regular, I'm looking at them like right now.
They're staring at us.
Just like regular laces.
Yeah.
Ooh, you should switch them out.
I don't think.
But it is race week, so maybe.
I know, nothing new for race week.
Well, that would be a classic move for Chipper, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
New things.
New tech on race day?
Yeah, like a new wetsuit.
New wetsuit?
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Annie. I'm going to chance it.
Yeah, maybe at the end of this, Annie, like you can, or both you and I can say, if there were one new thing for you guys to change in your whole gear.
Good idea.
We're going to highly recommend that.
And throw me into like
intervention
5 days of just second guessing every gear.
Yeah,
every
like gear a thought. Total, okay. Yeah, a total anxiety.
Hey, at least it'll be limited to 5 days.
That's true.
We're just going to get you super anxious before the race, and then you're going to unleash your anxiety on the course.
I'm going to bring two pairs of extra lock laces and hang them in front of your face.
Oh my God. I actually have some.
I think I have a bunch too. Chris, I know what shoe you're wearing.
Well, let's finish your entire outfit.
Oh, you want my go all the
way? Oh, wait, no. I think we should go. Let's go beat by beat.
Oh, okay. All right, fine.
Because I got some ideas about shoes.
I'm just going to wear the shoes that I love and I think work really well. And I wore at the race last, 3 years ago, the Salomon S-Lab Amphibs.
Yes.
Which are discontinued, unfortunately, because they're such a good
shoe. They're still selling them.
Yeah, but now they're clearing out the inventory and you can only get like random sizes. So,
are those the ones that have they're not like the S-Lab cross trail running shoes, are they, with the ankle?
No,
these are the built-in gator.
These are very, very minimal, very racy, huge lugs on the bottom, drain exceptionally well. I use a sort of the non-S-Lab version for swimmer practice, so it's basically the same upper. Yeah, it's like the same upper, but the sole is more like road kind of.
Yeah, I think that's a bomber shoe choice.
It's a great shoe. I'm not planning on changing. And I'm used to it.
No reason to, yeah.
Yeah, last week I went on a big trail run with them just to kind of, just
make
get
sure
used to them
again.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking a good shoe for this race, if you have it, would be like the Vivo Barefoot, the one that you guys that we just reviewed that you guys reviewed.
The Tempest?
The Tempest with the ankle gaiter. And then these like S Labs trail running shoes with ankle gaiters. So if people, I mean, don't go out and obviously buy a new shoe and race in it this weekend, but like if you guys, if people have that already and they're kind of debating between shoes, don't you think that would be a good shoe?
If you're ready for barefoot running.
I don't think that the Vivo Barefoot would be a good shoe for this race because it's because this race has a lot of road running primarily. And that's
beach roads too. So really, it's going to be,
there's beach running, but there's like a lot of road running, honestly. Yeah. There's a bit more in this year's course. It's been revamped to include some more trail on Shabig, but
even getting
there's
the
a fair amount of road, like pavement, and that hurts in minimalist shoes.
Very good.
Feel everything underfoot.
Yeah, and then
all right, let's talk about my favorite thing.
Socks.
I think Chipper and I think we're aligned on this. We're going to use a Swiftwick Aspire knee high, so the 12.
Yes, Aspire and 12. I will just comment because Chris has been trying out different. He's been dialing in his sock length. He started at the quarter and then working his way up. And I went out for my swim run this weekend
by inch,
and I put on some calf ones. And I was actually surprised. I thought I was going to have a problem with, my legs are going to be a little bit more colder. I didn't even notice.
You don't notice.
One, I got fucking Chewbacca legs. Hairy Chewbacca legs. Two.
Can that be like a t-shirt?
Definitely.
Fucking Chewbacca legs.
And so I might be testing that out soon, but it won't be on this race. I'm going, like Chris said, with the knee highs. Because I do remember there is a lot of, always with the race, there's a lot of in and out and brush, and I just don't want my legs getting scraped up.
Else there is? Poison ivy.
Yes.
Oh, yes. On Vail Island.
Uh-huh. On Vail Island,
if you have an extra barrier between yourself and that plant, that is good.
Just try not to touch plants, basically.
Don't touch plants.
And there's some like slippery rock exits.
Yeah, there's somewhere, like, I remember, it's kind of like pothole-y shores.
Mm-hmm. There was that team that
after Shark Cove
were bleeding. They were like bleeding.
Ouch!
In Shark Cove.
Yeah, in Shark Cove. So it would be nice to have just an extra barrier, I think, from the.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. I mean, I've been using the other lengths just kind of to mess around, but also because, by the end of the race, those socks get pretty sandy.
Yeah, so they are really annoying to deal with.
Takes a while to kind of clean them off. And also take them off. So in practice, I'll just wear little ankle ones that are just easy to rip off and blast with a hose when I get home.
So Annie and Chip and Chris, mm-hmm. when you guys are all there this weekend, and I'm so sad that I can't be there to join you.
In spirit.
Want you, whoever finds someone who's wearing a C-Venger C-Snug, will get gift from me.
From you.
Okay.
Is the special gift a pair of C-Venger C-Snugs and a backup pair?
Another pair.
That's the three that we wanted to return from Chester.
It may be the special gift might be me never bringing up the C-Venger C-Snugs again.
No. Oh my goodness. But it will be something. Don't say that because I'll just rig it.
Yeah.
I'll just rig it. I just want to keep your eyes peeled.
Yep.
I just want to see if anybody is going for it.
I will be on the lookout. I know how to spot those things from a mile away.
Okay.
Sounds like if someone is listening and you are wearing C-Vengers, I'm going to take a selfie with your foot and your sock.
Yes.
And send it to
I will say I wore those socks for both times I did Casco, and I, A, did not get any sand in my shoe, and B, my feet did not go numb on the really long swim. So there.
Okay. And C, you looked really cool as far as you know. All right.
Okay,
so
moving up the chain.
Let's talk wetsuit.
We have done
wet
socks. Suits. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going with the Arc Orno X.
Interesting.
And
interesting choice.
The no arm sleeves. I have been practicing in the arm sleeves. The water is colder in the San Francisco Bay, I will say, and sometimes I have been practicing and taking them down, and it is chilly, but not something that I can't deal with. And like what Brooke was saying, I do remember the just how sticky and humid it was there, and I don't want my arms dealing with that. And I got
plus you probably have Chewbacca arms.
Yeah,
my
arms are
a little bit less Chewbacca-esque.
When you're from Kashyyyk.
I didn't
Chewbacca's
get that
home
reference.
Planet.
Oh wow.
Oh man. I can't believe that came out.
Oh, pardon me. Wow.
Can we like bleep that out or something?
No.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
This is too good. I also got burned carrying my arm sleeves in Catalina from pretty much the first hill.
Yeah, right. So you were wearing them, and halfway up the first hill, you took them off, and like, you just had to carry them for the next 25 miles.
For the next 7 hours or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Did you wear them as cute little wristbands?
No, they were just slogging it up in the back of my jersey somewhere.
Yeah, definitely no arm sleeves. Chris, I'm curious to see, in contrast, what suit you're wearing.
Yeah, well,
I have an idea.
I do too, and I'm nervous.
I'm nervous too. And like, again, that's why at the beginning of the show, this is going to be really self-serving, because I genuinely want, I mean, if we were doing the show, I'd be reaching out to you guys to get your opinion on it.
Consulting.
So I've been training in cold water using the VIG with arm sleeves and the kangaroo top. And I did one workout without the kangaroo top, and it was noticeably colder. This was a shorter one that we did with some friends that are both doing Casco for like an hour and a half. And I was a little chilly after that. But that, I think, conditions,
I was also chilly after that.
It was earlier.
It was a little bit colder.
We started earlier. It was overcast. Like, the sun hadn't even popped up yet by the time we were done. But I have also done 3 and 20, 3.5 hour swimmer practices with the VIG, with the kangaroo top and arm sleeves, and that's been fine. It's my favorite suit. It is? The one race that I've done in it has been my favorite race. Tonight. And my concern is, if there's any, I feel like as long as we keep moving, I think I can do fine with that suit. My fear is if there's a lot of standing around for some reason,
Like Chip wants to try the different flavors of goo.
Brooke just doesn't need to be a person.
You know, like,
I know what you're
like
saying. I know
exactly
what you're saying.
What
something
doing.
Happened.
I know what you're saying, Chris, because I some would, good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, like, I heard there was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches
like
out there.
Something happened. Yes. You know, like, I think if you've heard the show long enough, I just like to keep moving. So Aid Stations, I don't like to hang out too long and just keep moving forward.
Chipper,
but I feel like if there's something that stops
right
that,
now.
like let's say we can't get in the water because there's a boat or something, we got to wait like 20
sure.
minutes, like something like that.
We
got to
empty
me.
Our shoes because it has hella rocks in there.
Something like, yeah. So I think if it's like a 30-second to a minute stop,
well, you just do jumping jacks on the shore.
I guess that's what I would have to do. But yeah. So I think in terms of, I want to wear that suit because it's the most comfortable suit. It's the suit I like the most. And I feel like I'm just overall.
Are you going sans underwear? Sans everything?
Yeah.
Just the kangaroo top?
Yeah.
I have some questions about your training sessions with the VIG.
Okay.
How long was the longest one? 3.5 hours?
About 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. And what would you, do you feel like that was race pace?
A lot. Well. Yeah. There was some race pace in there. I mean, we've done some race pace stuff. We've done we did one that was about 2 hours where our average pace was around 10 minutes per mile, which for us, that's pretty racy, sort of overall pace. And it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wasn't like cabin down.
He also is fully zipped up the whole time too. So not even needing to get any.
Which is handy.
Yeah.
What about the weather on those days? What was the sun out on those days?
Only on one day towards the end.
Was the air temperature pretty? What was the air temperature like?
Low 60s.
I think you should definitely race in that suit.
Well, oh, gosh. Well, here, okay, I just have
wait,
one
I have,
thing.
Wait, I have one more question.
Wait!
Okay, go, Annie.
Annie.
Oh, no, I was calling wait for your sake.
Oh, what was the longest swim?
Pretty long, like a 15-20 minute swim on some of that stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, I feel like, and I've been using it in much colder waters. It's going to be like, I mean, 6 to 10 degrees difference. It's pretty noticeable.
Well, we did the core simulation in two parts. So we've done the whole.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did all that.
I think you very well could be totally fine in the VIG, especially because you have done your due diligence and tested it. I think it does really, really minimize, as you pointed out, like your buffer zone for if there's anything unexpected that you have to deal with. And that has, you know, anything from like dehydration on race day, to unexpected levels of fatigue, to a bus crossing the road, to Chipper eating cookies for 2 minutes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Chipper deciding to eat like 4 burritos the night before the race, and he's blowing it out. Like,
that's not unexpected. That's planned.
It is kind of risky. I think you could probably pull it off, but another thing to consider is that you will be out there for probably about twice as long as your longest effort to date in the VIG. Mm-hmm, and as time goes on and you're exerting at the level that you will be, your ability to thermoregulate does deteriorate.
Let me ask you this.
Would there be like, could he still race in the suit, but maybe with some modifications? Like, I know some people will wear like a thin,
like a neoprene vest. Like,
yeah, or something.
So here's what I was thinking to mitigate exactly what you're saying, because that is my concern. Like, modulating heat on swim run is supremely important, because on either end of it, you're not having a fun time, right? And suit selection goes into that. So I totally understand that. I mean, how shitty of a racer I am, I feel like our racer IQ is super high, so we understand like how to not be total idiots out there. So that concerns me, because I don't want to be a total idiot out there. I think I do have some ideas on how I can mitigate that pot, you know, the potential of overheating is obviously not going to be a problem. I think the only thing I'm really worried about would be
getting too cold. Yeah.
Would be to, have a better sort of swim, like an open water swim cap, which is what I use in aquatic park, which it's still like very thin. It's like a tier. I forget what it's called.
Yeah. Yes. It's not neoprene, but it's just thicker.
It has a liner. So, and that's usually enough. So that plus the race supplied swim cap, might be almost too much, but I'm already going to be packing pretty minimal, and that thing doesn't take up a lot of space. So I could almost just have that. So in case I am getting cold, totally I can just throw that on to kind of warm up. Same thing, the Orno X arm sleeves, which is what I've been using to pair with the VIG. They're very thin. And in training, I've been leaving them on purpose as I was getting warm, just to kind of, you know, see how annoying it was. And for the most part, I've just been leaving them on. Where I felt like I could have taken him off. Like, one time Chipper took his off and I was going to take mine off. I was like, you know what? Let me just swim hot or run hot. So I think I could do that. I'm very comfortable racing in those things. They're easy to take off. Probably not as easy to put back on if I need to. But again, I'm not going to be packing. I'm basically going to be packing the collapsible cup, the compression bandage, which is my responsibility, like 5 or 6 gels just in case. And, you know, maybe a swim cap.
I'm just going to throw in some more data here. So swim 6 is 965 meters. That's our last longest swim. Swim 8 is 880, and then we have a 640, 560, 400, 400. So if you are getting really chilly, and we have a 4-mile run in there too to really cook back up too.
Yeah, and there's a tactical thing there too. I mean, I feel like my swim has come a long way. My endurance, I feel like my stamina is really high. So I think if it is a problem of being cold, I can just like not be a little bitch and like lead swims to warm up.
Yeah, towards, I think we like, have a lot of options for you to get warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it sounds like you've like really thought about it. I think looking at the weather forecast, I think you'll probably be fine.
I mean, but here's the alternative. The alternative is to use the Orna X, because that suit is just amazing. But I'm more worried about the other end of that. I'm not worried about getting cold.
Yeah.
And actually, that's what I was kind of thinking of you, Chip, with Orna
Chip,
X.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you talk about being a moving radiator.
I do, but I kind of similar to Chris, I feel like I can deal with getting cooling down much easier than trying to heat back up.
Yeah.
I have more experience getting cool.
Too hot.
Or I could do a Marcus Barton even and leave it zipped down for a swim. And really, really cool myself down. But I think I feel comfortable with my ability to shed heat.
Okay.
Having said that, I'm probably gonna blow a gasket on
you're a sweater.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So what do you guys think?
Can I say one more thing? So this is like something I never would have guessed unless I had done the race twice, which is you look at the course and after that swim six, you're like, oh yeah, like there's some time to warm up. But what I underestimated is like there's a series of runs that are quite short.
Yes,
and you're back in the water. And then like a like kind of a slow moving run, which is the rock hop on Vail Island. Mm-hmm. Like you don't really generate the typical run heat doing that because you're not running. You're just kind of rock hopping. Yeah, and not touch plants.
Yeah,
and then you're back in the water, and then you're like back over this little spit. So there's a fair amount of the ratio of time in the water between swim six and
run 11.
Yep, is actually quite a lot. And I remember getting cold both years
that's
that stretch.
Yeah.
So if you are thinking that you might go a little bit more minimal on your wetsuit, like say the VIG, don't take your arm sleeves off
until after
at all during that part.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even think about wearing the cap. Yeah. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. Rather than as a, oh, now I feel cold, let me put the cap on. It's kind of too late then.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Just
too.
Wear the warm cap.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wear it until
you can always take it off.
Exactly. If I'm cooking, then take it off.
Now, Catalina, you wore your MyBoost Pro sleeveless. Did you wear? I don't think you wore arm sleeves.
I didn't wear arm sleeves. I was definitely cold.
You got a little cold there
on a couple of those last, you know, the second to last,
like the 1300.
Yeah, the third, the last three swims were
chilly,
slightly problematic. The first of the last, I guess the third to last swim, that one was, I think, one of the longest swims. And definitely when we got out, I was doing like the hyperthermia finger check kind of thing. And what we did, we just kind of picked up the pace a little bit on that run, which I don't remember how long it was, 2.5 miles, something like that. And that really helped. Yeah. I think that we're way fitter for this race than we were for Catalina, you know, a year and a half
ago. Body fat's lower too, though.
That's true.
Looking all sexy over there and shit.
Still got the dad bod though. but yeah, I think that we will be moving quicker. So I'm not sure if that means less time to warm up or we'll be just revving at a higher rate. So we'll just be keeping warm.
I think the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be another consideration for any listeners. Just like think about your general RPE and your general amount of heat generation and whatever effort you plan to do this.
Right. Yeah. Like if you're walk jogging some of these runs, you're not going to warm up as quick as.
Yeah,
but it kind of goes both ways, right? Like the harder you push, yes, the more heat you generate, but also the more fatigue you generate and the less ability you have to thermoregulate. So it's kind of
totally.
That's why we have
paralyzing. Paralyzing.
I think this is actually going to be I think it'd be great to talk about your guys' experience after, because you're kind of both taking like opposite ends of the approach, you know, like.
As your friends, we don't think either one of you will die.
I also don't think that either one of us will die. But can I just get like a up and down, like if you were to tell me, you know, you care about me, you want me to do well, should I do the VIG in the setup that I'm thinking with arm sleeves, kangaroo top, maybe the extra swim cap, over or essentially like the Orna X with nothing? Like which way, like would be your vote?
I think the VIG, honestly, because you love it. That's part of it, man.
That's true.
Joy keeps us warm too.
It's your superhero costume.
By the way, you have
done your due diligence. You've tested it.
Yeah. And I think the VIG, but I would just definitely wear the swim cap.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you can always knock it. And then you're not carrying it. And it's helping keeping you warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I concur. VIG.
I'm sorry that I brought in that morbidity mortality.
Oh, it's totally fine.
Sorry.
It's not going to happen.
No one's going to die.
Nobody.
Okay. So
everyone's dying.
Can we talk paddles? Oh, let's talk.
Oh, I'm going to wear the kangaroo top as well. And I do wear underwear, which I actually got new ones because I had these other ones. They were giving me a spot of bother.
Yeah.
That just sounded like a little kid. Like,
everyone's talking about their underwear, how they don't wear any, and people are like,
they have like little Avengers, you know, guys.
Oh, they have
on
a Batman
them,
cape.
Yeah,
it says Sunday
on them.
Race day, undies.
Race day.
As like a little baby Hulk in the back.
So I got my race day undies, and I'm all set.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
I'm so happy for you.
Nice. So pull buoy. I think that's a super short discussion. We're both going keel plus.
Lasso mount.
simple mount.
Yeah, I think for like such a swim heavy
yeah, definitely.
Race, that's a good call.
Then that's what we've been training in, and it's going to be it's the right choice
now,
for us.
Now, last time we did this race, we were using the old school mount with the thigh.
Yeah, like a regular pool boot, like a pool boot. Yeah.
And I remember by the end of that thing, I was so tired of yanking that thing back up my leg because it just kept sliding down my leg. I was losing my mind.
I didn't think it was even doing anything. I was like, I'm just going to leave this at the aid station as a present for a volunteer.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, this is kind of like getting nitty gritty, but there's a lot of like seaweed and kelp and things that you're like wading through. So I think the more simple, you know, lasso setup that you can get is better. The less things kind of flying around the water, the better.
Chris, and that's you're a wearing really good your point. Utility belt?
I'm wearing just a, I don't do the utility belt anymore. I've evolved. Yeah, now I just have the thing with the hook.
Yeah, the
tether belt.
Cool.
Yeah. For paddles, Chipper's going to be using Frank paddles medium.
Yes.
And I'll be good using Roka paddles medium because...
Good call. I was wondering if you guys were going to go big, and I was like, I don't think this is the course to go big paddles on.
We also got some video analysis, swim analysis done with...
By Gemma?
With no paddles, the Frank mediums and the Frank larges, and both of us had similar... breakdowns and stroke with the large paddles. So felt like we get a better purchase on the water.
Yeah. You guys are like running the labs. You guys are like the lab technicians.
We learned
right
it from
now.
Watching you.
From watching you, Dad.
All the listeners are too old for that commercial.
No, I'm not too old. What are you talking about? I'm the oldest.
Our listeners.
I missed that one.
See, that's what I mean, Chipper. This was like an anti-drug thing. It's like the kid, they catches the kid smoking a joint in his room, like all like embarrassed, like he's jerking off or something.
Yeah.
And then like the dad walks in, and he's like, and the kid's like, I learned it from watching you, Dad. And it's like, oh, don't do drugs.
Like a kid would say that. Anyway.
Maybe in the 80s they would say that.
Yeah.
Yes, paddles and goggles now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm using the, I got a couple pairs of the Magic 5 custom goggles.
You're going to race in them.
And I'm racing in them.
And so do you feel like those afford you the visibility that you need in the open water?
I have been using those for all of our swim runs for the
since you got them.
And I haven't had any issues with them. And I guess I'm a foggy goggle diva, but I despise foggy goggles. And
you abhor it, I think, would be the...
Yeah, whatever Chris says.
I don't know anybody who likes it.
I know. Well, it just rocks me to my core. And so I've been liking them. And they also, you don't have to really cinch them down.
That's nice.
So that's
and
nice.
And Chip, you're usually leading the swims, right? So you're usually sighting?
Yes.
Yeah, I think like... I just remember in this race, there are like a couple of,
Gotchas out there, I think.
Yeah. A couple of sighting things that you really have to kind of pay attention to, or sometimes I'd have to stop and do like the otter twirl and be like, where is it?
Where are we in the ocean?
Yeah. So anything that just gives you nice vision, nice clear vision. If it's going to be sunny, you know, make sure you account for that.
Yeah, I have like a mirrored pair and then smoke, so I haven't decided on that.
That's a whole nother can of worms.
I don't know if I want to even get into that.
Yeah, so I've been using, I think that's interesting because that's not what you would consider an open water goggle. It's like a pool goggle, so see how that goes. I'm going to use what I've been using for years, which is the Aquasphere Cayenne small fit because, I don't know,
it just
better.
Fits you better, I guess.
And I actually just got a new pair in the mail today that are polarized because I already swim in smoked goggles all the time. So I feel like it doesn't matter the lighting. Like I'm just used to that and I already can't see very well when I'm out there. So it doesn't really matter too much. But I thought the polarized would be cool. And the nice. Lens is kind of like an amber. I think it'll pick up colors.
And a fresh... fresh coat of that anti-fog on there.
Too. Yeah, so that'll make Chipper happy. Yeah, so I'm going to use them in the pool a couple times and should be fine. They're exactly what I've been using for years. And yeah.
Those sound great.
And then we know that Chris is going to wear a double cap with a thermal layer, but not neoprene, just kind of the mini thermal.
Are you talking about like the Like I have one, Chris, it's just like black TYR. It's mm-hmm. got like yeah. silver on the inside. Yeah, yep. I love that cap. I mm-hmm. actually wear that cap too.
I think it's
race.
Called the winter cap or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm
Chip,
going,
are you just going standard single cap?
I'm just
cap?
Going standard, and then my hair is it will be in a scrunchie. Because of the,
what color?
Probably, how long is your hair?
I don't know. It's to my shoulders.
Whoa. You should braid it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you should
that's
get
what I'm hoping
the,
for.
You should, what's her name who does the cool braids? Who's Swedish. She could give you a little lesson.
Isabella?
Yeah, Isabella.
She braided me up at Catalina. Yeah. So I'm hoping that somebody on the boat is doing the, whatever, the cornrow braids and I can
hair.
Just jump in there. Yeah, otherwise I'm just going
to... We're going to hire like a softball team to come
It should
in
just be like a staple of all swim run races.
Yeah.
Well, my
like,
wife
just have
is
someone
learning,
on there braiding people's hair.
Yeah, my wife to her, you know, my beautiful wife, she's learning how to do the cornrows by watching YouTube videos to
talented
to teach me how to do it.
So. Ooh.
Or just so she could do it for me basically before a race.
She's is she going like, to be on the boat? She could do everybody's.
Yeah, oh, well, she'll be doing it for me in Catalina for sure because she's going to be there.
Nice.
But yeah, if there's anyone out there who knows how to do those braids and they're going to do them on the boat, sign me up.
Put them down for one.
I yeah. think the only oh, yeah. thing we haven't talked about, oh, we could talk nutrition, but I was going to say tether. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, you guys kind of glossed over it like, oh, I'm doing the thing. Oh, yeah, I know the thing. What
we're definitely using a tether.
Oh, yeah, we all, yeah,
and we're going to try to leave it on the entire time, I think is our...
Do you guys approach. Have an easy, like, this? Can you describe your tether?
It's 3 meters. It's red. 6 millimeter thick bungee cord with two carabiners.
Has a couple knots in it from when Tripper made it too long.
Hmm?
Did we adjust that on race day?
Like,
but no one's resentful.
He admitted that he shouldn't have
done that. A week before the race, I was like, oh, we had this old one, and I don't know. I have a thing with it being nice, and like the knots make it not, you know, it makes it not solid. It has knots
not,
in
not nice. Not,
yeah. So I was like, I'll just make a new one, and I'll measure it exactly. And I didn't. And then I brought it out there, and I already knew, like a kid that like stole cookies. I'm like, Chris, I made this new tether, and I think it's long.
Well, you admitted he's like, because I was making
it. I knew
it
was a problem.
As he was making it, he was like, oh, you know, Chris isn't going to like this. But you did it anyway. And it's fine. I've forgiven you. I love you like a brother. Chip. We're past it. But, you know, I like this tether. We should just use it. Yeah. Don't worry about the knots. It's perfect length.
I think
it has a story.
Like battle scars.
Chip, that feeling that you described is the exact feeling I have when I'm eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich way too slow at the aid station.
And you could just
Castle
feel
Bay.
Annie's eyes burning into the back.
I'm like,
of
why
seat.
Are you chewing? The move is shove it down.
Hey, I've actually gotten a lot better about that, I will say, in my defense.
I just got an
speaking
idea for about five memes.
Speaking of
wait,
nutrition.
Wait, I'm not done with the tether.
Okay.
I want to say one safety thing with the tether.
Whoa, say it.
It needs to be said.
Very, very
make
important.
Make sure you guys have a quick release plan.
Yes,
for,
always.
Tides, some very strong
those currents are gnarly.
And
my
if you
heavens.
Happen to find yourself both on either side of a fishing boat, connected
yeah.
via tether.
Or or a lobster buoy or something.
Or a lobster buoy.
Or
yeah,
a collection of
very,
other swim run teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we
and
definitely.
And along those lines, I think also like an invaluable piece of gear that we can't really do anything about, but is knowledge. Like that is actually knowledge of the course and where the currents are going to be coming mm-hmm. from and at mm-hmm. what times they're going to be ripping the hardest. Mm-hmm. That is always available in the pre-race stuff. And I don't know yep. whether that's included in the online thing, but like brush yourself up on that. And
there's
be
a
aware
little bit of
it.
That. Yeah. So the super short version of that is, if you're swimming north, the current is going to go from your right to your left. So as long as you know what heading you're going, that's what it's going to be.
Not anymore because they don't have a compass mandatory.
Wait, not depending on time from when you get there?
Well, from the race start, low tide is coming in. So essentially, from we heard from John and folks on the various course preview things.
Odyssey Communications.
Yeah, it's going from right to left. And you can confirm that by looking at the lobster buoys. So which way they're leaning. Whichever way they're leaning, that's the direction of the current.
That's a pro tip.
So, mm-hmm. so yeah. And yeah. And yeah, some of those sandbar run swims, whatever they are, those will have the hardest.
Man, I wish I had that information on our first swim run of Castle Bay.
I know, me too.
Remember,
me too.
On my paddles, I had like all the distances and then I had like little arrows of all the currents next to
nice.
Each.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That's, yeah. That's actually pretty good. That, that's
well, good. Yeah, I don't have any regrets about that, but a kind of guiding principle is also very cool to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. The other thing that we heard was the shallower the water, the stronger the current.
Yeah.
So if you hit the sandbar and it's, you know, it's not a sandbar anymore and it's very shallow, that just current is going to be ripping.
Some high knee walking.
Yeah. And as far as the tether release, it's kind of like the way I see it is like if I need to untether, I'm just going to untether and Chipper should do the same. Like if it's like an emergency situation, and typically I think it would be the person in the back might notice the situation first if you're in the water.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. So just, you know.
And just like something to consider too. Like mm-hmm. I said, there's just like a lot of seaweed and kelp on the transition. So
yeah,
we would get like kind of.
Bogged down.
Yeah, I remember on the recovery of the stroke, just trying to do like a little like
shake.
Flick. To
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you're like trying to do a little shake like every, like yeah. for the next like 20 strokes.
I remember those now.
Yeah.
It's all coming back.
Yeah, nutrition.
Nutrition. I like the spring energies. There's a couple that are like the speed nut. With caffeine and the speed nut without are 250 calories each. Tasty. They also have the Canterbury. It's 100 calories. I know Chris has been experimenting with these. And then the Martins hydrogels. They have a caffeine one and then a regular one. So a couple, maybe like two caffeines and the rest probably regular ones.
But I also encourage you guys to check out the local fanfare because there are some great nutrition tables set up by the community.
Oh,
like there's like a coffee and pastries one.
Yeah, pastries, PB&J, Oplenty.
Additionally, a little pro tip from one Greg from the Boston Red Sox. He uses maple syrup. So it being up there on the East Coast.
It's plentiful.
Plentiful. So I might get myself a little maple syrup and I have the Hydro Pack little like 5 ounce
oh,
little soft.
Oh my gosh.
Ounce, and I might just load that puppy with maple syrup for when I
mind
really
blown.
Need to.
I mean,
Greg,
that is just
sounds
like,
amazing.
That's happy. So when I that's when I was happiness. Doing a lot more road racing, that would be the first gel I would take would be like an untapped, like maybe 30 minutes in just because it's delicious. It goes down easy and it just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Kind of sets up the rest of your race.
That's a gem.
Yeah.
So why haven't we ever done that, Annie? That sounds
I don't know.
Great.
That's going to be happening from
now
on.
If you don't want to do the DIY, just get like a little jug of maple syrup and pour it in a thing. Untapped
Dude.
is a brand from Vermont where you can just buy these things. It's kind of like an elongated gel thing.
But it's just maple syrup.
It's just maple syrup.
Yum.
Amazing.
I dig.
Yeah.
What are you going to be using?
So I'm going to use a little bit more of the isotonic stuff. So I've been experimenting with some gels and I'm going to have a Martin's caffeine for emergencies. Cause that's like, you know, once you light that match,
<it's> a, yeah,
you know, like 45 minutes before I have a heart attack or something. I'm going to just have some regular gels and I'm going to plan on hydration wise. I'm not going to bring anything on board. I'm going to have the collapsible cup in my bottoms. Just like I just tuck it in under my,
leg
on the outside, and I'm gonna have a flask, a collapsible flask, just kind of rolled up in my back pocket.
Good idea.
Just in case, you know, it's a little toasty, especially for that last 4.5 mile run. I want to make sure that, you know, we're finishing with a crescendo rather than like a whimper, you know.
Yeah, finish like
You guys, I think you guys have an awesome plan.
Yeah.
Cool.
Annie, is there any one thing that you would say if you were going
to
make a pre-race last minute change and cause a shit ton of anxiety, what would you encourage them to change?
I think the only thing would be lock laces if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's right.
But I know that, I don't know, I can hear Chipper that you might be nervous about how that affects the fit of your shoe.
Yeah.
But I feel like these are solid kits, and both of them are a little edgy in their own way, as we discussed. Chipper on the hot end of the spectrum, and Chris on the cold end. But I don't think neither one of them is like a deal breaker, and it'll be super interesting to hear your reflections.
And I will say, because these suits weigh 400 grams, I'm bringing the X just in case there's some random change in weather. And I got to drop trowel on the boat and switch up. I'm totally fine doing that. I know I can race in the X, no problem. Mm-hmm. If it's like stormy or something, I want to make sure that I'm prepared, and it takes up literally no space.
So. And I am going to bring the VIG, even though I'm not even taking it out of the box.
You've never even put it on.
I want it to be a 45% chance that I might use it on race day.
Oh my gosh. If I have to put my money on some shoot the moon gambling, it's that Chipper completely goes rogue and wears the VIG.
I just can't believe like as much as I've talked about this thing, like you haven't even put it on.
You built it up.
You had it for like a year. Are you saving it so that the first time
you put it on is race day?
I want Chris to, he's built it up so big. I feel, I don't know. It's become this whole thing.
Like it's so much hype that you're just like worried that it's going to suck and you're going to be like, yeah, I, that he's going to be so disappointed
and he can't look at you in the eye ever again.
Wow, that would be horrible.
He's going to give auditions for a new swimmer partner.
Yeah, I think I know that thing rolls up to like the size of a t-shirt.
Yeah, it takes
no
space.
So there's no reason not to bring it. But yeah, we're looking forward to seeing everybody out there.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
It'll be awesome, you guys.
If anyone listening has any opinions, DM us. Let us know. Sure. Let us know what you think. If knowledge is power. We're not going to say we're going to take anyone's recommendations, but if you have something we didn't think about, definitely let us know. And we'll share it on next week's, or whenever we do the next show after the race.
If anybody does wear the sea snugs and loves them, you're welcome. And if they hate them, I'm sorry. You should have listened to the three other people on this show.
Okay, Maui. That was a Moana joke.
I don't have anything, guys. I guess we're done.
We'll see everyone at Holy Donuts then. And the happy hour. There's also the happy
hour. Lone Pine Brewery.
Starting at 5:30 to
8:30.
If we make it that long.
Yeah.
Have fun, everyone.
See you there.
Happy racing.
Eat more, not less, but eat it quickly. That's my mantra. Yeah.
Done. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gear Talk with the Swim Run Labs. You can learn more about all things Swim Run at swimrunlabs.com.
If you have any questions or requests for us to review on the show, send us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this and your other podcast, and leave a review if you're so inclined.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music, and of course, Annie and Brooke for sharing their wealth of knowledge with us.
We'd like to give a huge shout out to our wives for letting us do this sort of stuff. And until next time, be sure to go out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
And then a run.
Might as well throw another swim on there.
And a run.
And then just keep going.
Okay. Don't stop. Won't stop.
Can't stop.